Turning your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start reading at verse number 22 of chapter 1 and read down into chapter 2. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by human beings, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." I've been asking a question: do we want change? I mean, do you really want to be changed? I've attempted for a couple of months with regards to change in your life. Many of us, we discover, desire this change, whether it's the way we act or the way we talk or the way we live out our Christian experience. We desire to be changed. We have bad habits and we want change. We have bad perceptions and we want change. We have bad relationships and we want change. It has been my contention from this place that God not only has a desire to change us, but also has the power to do so. And that we, as his people, must make a decision to allow God to change us. It does no good for us to desire to be changed, but say no to the power of God. We have determined through Scripture and experience that the change that we will experience in this life will come as a direct result of the working of the Holy Spirit. As we look back over our lives, the change in our lives in a way resemble the natural occurrence of a metamorphosis that takes place in a caterpillar. From a furry worm-like creature to a beautiful butterfly, this is a process that takes place over time. And if we had a butterfly here to interview, it could tell us of the various changes that took place over a course of weeks. It didn't go from crawling on the ground overnight to flying in the form of a beautiful butterfly. Likewise, church, our journey in Christ is one that the changes we so desire may not take place overnight. For some of us, it has taken years to get to where God wants us to be. In our text this morning, in 1 Peter, we are reminded that our spiritual lives is likened to that of a baby or an infant. And babies aren't meant to remain babies, but are meant to grow. And in order to grow, there must be nutrition. So Peter encourages us in this letter to crave. To crave pure spiritual milk so that we might grow. Yes, the activation of change and growth is initiated by God, by the Holy Spirit. Yes, God is the one that does the transforming. God is the one that does the sanctifying. God is the one that does the purifying. God is the one that does the restoring and the name changing. But there is a state that we are called to be active in this process. We are called to crave or to desire growth. We are called to crave this spiritual nutrition. Therefore, we are called to put ourselves in position to grow. Now, you don't have to be a theologian or a Bible expert to understand that if you want to know more about, say, God's Word, you need to, let me try to figure this out. If we want to know more about God's Word, we need to do what? Get in it. If we want to know more about the Bible, we want to know about more about God's character, we want to know more about how God has dealt with people in the past, if we want to know how God is able to change people, we need to get in the Bible. It doesn't take a theologian to determine that if we want to grow into knowledge of the Holy Spirit, we've got to study the Holy Spirit. If you want to experience the blessing and power of God's community, then you need to participate in God's community. We're not just coming to church here just so we can say we went to church, but we're here to experience the power of God and the power that is contained within God's community. Church, there was a time, like I said earlier, when coming to church, everybody came to church, but now it's just something else to do. Coming to church and coming to Bible study has just become something else to put into my busy schedule. I got this to do. I got to go grocery shopping. I got to take the kids there. I got to do this. And oh yeah, I need to go to church. We need to realign our priorities, folks. If we want to experience the power of God and the power of community, then we need to make it a point to be a part of the activities of the community of God. Is that too hard, church? Am I coming down on you? When the church doors are open for an activity of the community of God, then those who are part of the community of God ought to be there. If we say we're going to have a prayer meeting tomorrow night, the community of God needs to be there. If we say we're going to have Bible studies, studying books like Revelation or a book like the book of Acts, we need to be here to get into the Bible. We need to get our kids into the Bible. We need to buy our kids their own copy of the Bible. We need to tell our kids to bring their Bible. And how about this? Let's set an example, adults, and bring our own Bibles to church. Doesn't take a theologian to note that if we truly crave spiritual nutrition, that we'll get into our Bibles. We'll participate in the community of God. We are called in 1 Peter to rid ourselves of malice or anger and deceit or lying and hypocrisy. It can't happen if we don't position ourselves to allow God to change us. We've got to let go of some stuff. We've got to let go of some stuff. We've got stuff in our lives that we just intend to hang on to. An argument that took place 5 years ago, a habit that we started 3 years ago. There has to come a point where we let things go, position ourselves to let God through the Holy Spirit change us. Understand this. We are living stones and we are being built up into a spiritual house. Peter says in verse number 5 of chapter 2, he adds that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Verse 9 of chapter 2. We are to be a change people, not because we need to pump our chest up and say, look at me, I'm holy, look at me, I'm big and bad. We need to be a change people because we are on a mission to declare the purposes of God, the love of God, the salvation of God. We are on a mission to declare to the world that there is only one true God and that this God has the power to change. We go out as a changed people, as a representation of what God can do with anyone. No matter how bad the sinner, how evil the sinner, God has the power to change. And this is our mission. We are on a mission to declare the glory of God, the holiness of God, the changing power of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, and the light of God. So as a body of believers, attempt to change this world. And this is our intention. We don't like the way the world is. We have an intent to change this world. Before we can attempt to change this world, we have to be a changed people. We can't go out and preach change if we haven't experienced change. Even change in the church. Yes, if we want our church to be more, to do more, to express more of the holiness of God, we as individuals must first be willing to be changed. If we are unable to see like God sees because we are stuck in an unchanged state, how can we dare offer the changing power of God? How would we be able to recognize those to whom God has called us to if we don't have changed eyesight, changed perceptions? If Christ's body is to become the agent of God's purposes, collectively as a community, we must commit to our lives to be changed. And this church is a picture of growing into maturity. And this church should be our purpose because as we build and grow and mature, we assume our rightful place as God's people, positioned to bless this world. Yes, all that we see in this world, nature, the skies, the clouds, the trees, the oceans, are meant to show who God is. But when it comes down to it, we as human beings, those who have experienced the changing power of God, we are the ones. We need to step into our rightful place to be a blessing to the world we live in. And to this end, I believe the Apostle Paul encouraged the church at Ephesus in chapter 4 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse number 7. Paul the Apostle from prison writes this: "But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascend mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does his work. Church, in the upcoming weeks, we will launch into a discussion about spiritual gifts. And you all will be encouraged to enter into dialogue and a process to determine what your spiritual gifting might be, so that your spiritual gifting and talents will be put to work in this body. Now, church, this is important, because if we are to be efficient and purposeful and impactful in this world, in this community that we've been called to minister to, everyone here, did you hear that? Everyone here, everyone who calls himself a disciple of Jesus Christ, everyone who determines and is a part of this body at Reynoldsburg, everyone here has to be involved. Not just me, not just Darren here, not just Kat. Everyone here has to be involved. We have been called to bless this world. Everyone is involved in blessing this world. God's kingdom is not a spectator sport, church. No sidelines here, only the field of play. And everyone here can play a part. And if you need help determining your strengths and your gifts, we want to commit to helping you understand, determine, and evaluate your gifting and your strengths. And we want to commit to helping you determine how you can put your gifts and your strengths and your talents to work in the service in the kingdom of God. God can change you, and he can change this church, and he can use this church to change the world. This message of personal change is to benefit you. There are many of us that need a lot of changing. There are many of us that are stuck on some things, and we need God's changing. So it is meant to benefit you, but it's also meant to benefit this body. And it's also meant to benefit this piece of the earth that God has blessed us to live in. It's meant for us to bless this little corner of the earth. So many of us are afraid of testimony. We're afraid of our own story. Don't you know that God is crafting our story so that we can go out and bless people with our story? We need to be a changed people. People have tried too many things. You know, The diet thing, which, you know, has its, you know, this diet is cool. You know, Atkins a few years ago was the stuff, wasn't it? You know, just everyone was on Atkins, but now it's Weight Watchers, or now it's this, or now it's this. The way that people determine what diet they're really going to get into is the person who has the most change, isn't it? When I see someone like Brian, listen, I'm not trying to bring you up, but if you go on our website and you see a picture of Brian on the website, it's like kabloom, right? Now, I'm not the only one that noticed that, am I? You know, it's like kablap, you know, right? I don't know where that sound effect came from, but you look at Brian now and it's like saflim, you know? So he went from kablap to saflim. It makes you go to him to say, what have you been doing? I want to do what you are doing. It stands to reason that if we go out, and people who we've been working with for 10 years, they see changes in us, it stands to reason that our co-workers and our classmates are going to say, what's going on? I want some of that change. And God is saying, that's how I intended it. I'm going to change you so that you can be a blessing to this world. And when you're a blessing to this world that we often look at and say is so screwed up, we can change this world. We weren't meant to be worm-like creatures like caterpillars. We're destined to be beautiful butterflies. And I pray that God will bless you on this journey of change. Pray that you would open your lives up to the Holy Spirit to change you. Pray that you would say yes to God. Yes to the power of God. Yes to the working of the Holy Spirit to sanctify you, separate you, to purify you, to cleanse you, to restore you. When you get nicked up, he'll restore you back to your beauty. And you will be a blessing to this world. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your promise. Your promise to change us, your desire to change us. God, we need you in every way. We are inadequate on our own to do anything. So Father, we pray that you would activate right now in each and every one of us the power that will ultimately change us over time, transforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. This is our prayer. This is our desire. And Father, while you are in the process of changing us, while we're in the midst of this metamorphosis, I pray that along the way you would help us to determine our gifts, our strengths, our talents, and that we would not determine these gifts as a way to just add to our resume of how good we think we are, but determine these gifts, these spiritual gifts, these talents, these strengths, as a way to put them into work in the ministry of this church as we attempt to change this world. Oh God, we love you. We love you, God, and we pray this in Jesus' name. We pray this in Jesus' name that you would activate the power of change. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.